CKUD, ma radio communautaire. J'y ai trop. CKUD.ca, yo. CKUD 90,3 FM, Montréal.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Radio Kapwa, where all Filipinos are Filipino enough. You're listening to 90.3 CKUT FM.
Mabuhay, bonjour, welcome to Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3. My name is Desiree Escalante Ruiz, and I am here today with my co-hosts, Fran Stoner and Veronica Bortiz, and our amazing and talented sound engineer, Laura Kaluya. So for today, for every show, we like to start with a little icebreaker just to kind of connect us and ground us and also display the differences and our different experiences as Filipinas, Filipinos, Filipinexes in the living in the diaspora. So today's icebreaker question is, what is your favorite Filipino dessert or food? And I want to start. So for those of you who don't know, I'm born here, born and raised in Montreal. I truthfully don't know many names of many Filipino foods or desserts. So I'm hoping that my co-hosts or Laura would know what I had in mind. So there's this Filipino dessert that my father used to make with coconuts. And so it's white and it was a bit jelly, and there's coconut shavings on the outside. And this is my favorite dessert, because it's not too sweet. And I just remember my dad made this little concoction in our basement, and it was like a piece of wood with an old can top that he nailed onto the piece of wood, and he would use that to shave the coconut pieces. So if anybody knows what that dessert is, please share, because that is my favorite Filipino dessert.
Oh, that's so amazing. I wish I could have seen your dad doing that.
I could see him in my mind right now. So I love this question, and thank you for bringing that up.
So I'm actually not quite sure what that dessert is, but it also brings us to kakanin, right? So kakanin are a type of Filipino dessert, and there's a lot of them. And what kakanin means is it's basically just like glutinous rice based. So I think that the dessert that you're speaking of is a type of kakanin, because it's sticky, because it's glutinous, but which one, I'm not sure, because sapin, so like the three colors, the purple, the white, the orange, is a type of kakanin. Kuchinta is a type of kakanin, right? And the reason for this, giving you a little bit of Filipino history, is because it's so hot in the Philippines, and back in the day, we didn't have ovens, and who the hell wants an oven when it's 40 degrees outside, right? So all of our desserts are not baked goods. They're things that we can make in a pan over a heated stove. And that's what kakanin is. So a little bit of food history for you today before I answered. So if maybe someone can share with us a list of kakanin, we can figure that out. Yeah, so for me, I always say halo halo. And the reason I say this is because I feel like we feel different every day. And with halo halo, you can like pick your fixings, you know, like some days you feel like you want a little bit more of those beans in there. And some days you want a little bit more ube. So I love kind of this build your own halo halo. And yeah, if you travel across the Philippines, there's really like different types of halo halo depending on the region. But I think we can say that about all kinds of different food. But yeah, for me, it's halo halo. Passing it to you, Vero.
To answer your question, Des, I actually have no clue what that means, but I was able to actually do that shaving it. You kayoed the whole thing, because you're like sitting on like a little like stool, and then you're supposed to like shave it off from the coconut shell itself. And then that was a dessert. That was our merienda. But I have no clue what it is called. I did it in my dad's province as well. So that was like, and everyone was just like, oh my God, look at all the city kids. Like they don't know how it works, and they're all making fun of us. And I'm like, I guess it's worth it, because it was hard to do that. And then you have to be careful because you don't want to also harm yourself. To answer your question about favorite dessert/food, hands down, it has to be either nilaga or sinigang. That's just it. Like, there's yeah, Laura was like, hell the fuck, yeah. If not lechon, I'm literally just boiling over my lechon right now. And it's very, you can use it in different ways as well. In terms of dessert, halo-halo feels very overwhelming for me, but it's what you said, France, about like depending on what you feel, and also it depends on which region you are and what is the most available ingredients they have in that area. It's representative of that halo-halo in that area. But it's too overwhelming for me. There's too much ingredients. So I would go with like escrambol. I don't have money when I was younger. But every time the kuya comes in for escrambol, I'm like, kuya, I don't have money. Do you want spaghetti? Here. And then we exchange food. And then we have a vacant lot in front of our house. So they would just like do their merienda in that area. And in exchange, I have my mug of escrambol and I just add more powdered milk in it. So
what is escrambol?
How do you even describe escrambol? It's like ice shaving mixed with, I don't know what flavoring it was. It looks purplish. So maybe it's some sort of ube. And then they add, I personally add more milk powder on top of it, but I don't know how to explain it, but it's purplish, light purple color, kind of like ice shave, kind of like slush. That's
yeah,
how
I was
looks.
Gonna say it's kind of like slush shaved ice with toppings, because yeah. Filipinos always got to be maarte, right? So we can't just do shaved ice and sugar. It's and sugar and syrup and maybe some sweet rice and maybe some tapioca and maybe some coconut shavings.
It's coconut shaving, definitely.
Love it. Laura?
Yeah, so what's the most notorious gang in the Philippines? Sinigang. Sinigang, like Pharaoh, it's my favorite. But I also love dinuguan. I know a lot of people don't like it because it's pork's blood, but since I was little, I've loved dinuguan.
No, me too. I had some titas who would just kind of like always freak out because they're like, kids don't usually like dinuguan. And I was like always the first kid who just wanted to eat.
Oh my God, me too.
My mom made it too. And apparently she claims that I ate it until I found out what it was. So that's okay.
I mean, the
that's
name is kind of intimidating. Dinuguan. It come from the word dugo, which is blood. So I'm just like, what? We're eating blood? Huh? But yeah, everyone pretty much loves it. I have food anxiety, so I actually have not tasted it yet. So. But everyone loves it, and it's rooted to our cuisine, our Filipino cuisine too. So that's great.
Love that. Thank you all for sharing, and we're so excited for this episode.
We hope you'll enjoy what will be our sixth episode today. Now, before the news segments and the interview with awesome artist Alan Matudio, here's Mundo by Four of Spades.
Oh, paalala kung nahihirapan ka.
Thank you. sa dulo ng ating walang hanggang.
Hanggang ang puso'y wala lang maramdaman.
Hanggang sa dulo ng ating walang hanggan.
Hanggang ang puso'y wala lang nararamdaman.
Kahit matapos ang magpakailan pa man, ako'y maghihintay sa ngalan ng pag-ibig.
Hanggang sa dulo ng ating walang hanggan.
Hanggang ang puso'y wala lang nararamdaman.
Kahit matapos ang magpakailan pa man, ako'y maghihintay sa ngalan ng pag-ibig mo.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Laura, and you just listened to December Avenue's Sa Ngalan ng Pag-ibig. Now, before we get to know awesome artist Alan Matudio, John Marvin would like to share with us news from our homeland in the Philippines, as well as the local news here in Teotihuacan, Montreal.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Marvin Reyes, a youth leader and a community organizer here bringing you important news back home in the Philippines. For this week's news, we'll be talking about a trending headline in the Philippines. And the article I will be reading you right now is from thephilostar.com with the title, Super Typhoon Henry Continues to Slow Down. Super Typhoon Henry continued to slow down on Friday over the Philippine Sea east of Batanes, according to State Weather Bureau PAGASA. As of 5 a.m., the typhoon's eye was traced at 395 kilometers east-northeast of Basco, Batanes. Moving almost stationary, it is also packing maximum sustained winds of 175 kilometers per hour near the center and gustiness to up to 115 kilometers per hour. Tropical cyclone wind signal number 1 is still hoisted over Batanes, Babuyan Islands, and the northeastern portion of mainland Cagayan, Santa Ana. The possibility of raining wind signal number 2 is not yet ruled out, PAGASA said. Area signal number 1 will experience strong winds or strong breeze to near gale strength. Now, what to expect? Henry may bring moderate to heavy rains with at times intense over Batanes, Babuyan Islands, Ilocos Norte, and Aba on Friday, PAGASA said. It is expected to bring light to moderate with at times heavy rains over Cagayan and the rest of Ilocos Region and Cordillera Administrative Region on Friday. By Saturday, moderate to heavy rains may affect Batanes, while light to moderate with at times heavy rains are possible over Babuyan Islands. The Weather Bureau said that Henry is forecast to southwest monsoon, which may bring rains over the western section of Luzon beginning Saturday. PAGASA issued a gale warning for the northern and eastern seaboards of the northern Luzon. Tropical cyclone may bring moderate to rough seas over the eastern seaboards of central Luzon and southern Luzon, which may be risky for those using small sea vessels. Henry is expected to remain almost stationary on Friday morning before tracking slowly northwestward later in the afternoon. On the forecast track, Henry will eventually accelerate northward tomorrow and exit the Philippine area of responsibility on tomorrow evening or Sunday morning, PAGASA said. This typhoon is forecast to weaken while its quasi-stationary phase. A short period of intensification may also take place outside the Par region by Sunday as Henry tracks northward over the East China Sea, it added. The article I just read you is written at 7:20 a.m. Philippine time in September 2, 2022. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. This is John Marvin again, here bringing you local news for this week. The article I will be sharing with you is from Global News with the title, Labor Day Protest Unfolds in Quebec. Hundreds of workers, students, and activists gathered in Montreal Monday for an annual Labor Day to voice their concerns. Capitalism in a broader spectrum is perpetuating inequalities in the society, and this needs to be addressed, said Marc-Edouard Joubert, Fédération des Travailleurs et des Travailleuses du Québec Regional Council President. The marchers argue that governments and corporations need to do more to address those inequalities and to be better protect workers as well as the unemployed. I think precariousness is a huge issue, said Sam Thompson, Concordia University Teaching and Research Assistants Union President. People do not have the stable contracts that they used to have. People don't have good healthcare, insurance. People don't have the kinds of pensions and long-term security they once had. Among the demands protesters made was extensions of temporary changes made to the Employment Insurance or EI program at the start of the pandemic. The amendments were made to support workers who lost jobs because of COVID-19. Under the pandemic measures, workers qualify for EI if they have 420 insurable work hours. Before the pandemic, they would have needed up to 700 hours to qualify. The temporary measures end September 25th. If nothing is done, we just go back to the ancient law, which excludes the majority of the unemployed when they ask for help, argued Jeremy of the movement Action Chômage de Montréal. Protesters also want employers to pay for inflation, asking that salaries be indexed to the cost of living. They also want the current $14.25 minimum wage raised to $18. Sam notes, however, that problems go much beyond pay. It's good to have maybe $2 or $3 more an hour, but if you don't have access to healthcare, that is a problem, Joubert pointed out. If you don't have access to housing, that is another problem. He and protest organizers stressed that the pandemic laid before a number of deficiencies in society which, if not addressed, will make even more people vulnerable. The article is written by Phil Carpenter in the Labor Day, September 5, 2022. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is John Marvin, your local news reporter for this week.
Thank you so much, John Marvin, for taking the time and doing the research every week to bring us important information from back home and from our current home. It is super important for us to bring awareness to these things that continue to happen around us and support necessary conversations with the platform we have. So thank you, and we love and appreciate you, boo. This next song is called Hinahanap ng Puso by Glock 9, and it's one of my personal favorites, so I really hope you enjoy.
Pasensya na aking mahal, di naman ako magtatagal. Nais ko lamang marinig mo ang bawat nilalaman ng puso kong ito, inaalay ko sa'yo. Linggin mo sana mga sinasabi ng awitin ko. Pilitin mang ibalin at sa iba'y isalin, ay di malimot ang halimuyak na hatid ng hangin. Nung una kang makita, hindi makapaniwala, parang panaginip at langit aking nagdarama. Nais mo malam ay may pag-ibig na laging kumagaway sa'yo. Di kapagpapayaan, laging aalagaan, hanggang sa dulo ay tunay ang aking naramdaman. Nais kong malaman kung ikaw ay aking iniibig. Sana ay tingin mo ang ibok nitong dibdib. Nais kong malaman kung ikaw ang nasa panaginip at magkakalaman.
Welcome to Quick Career Minute, hosted by your Ate Aleli. I'm the founder of The Informal and your first-generation professional career mentor. We're all working from home more, which means more virtual meetings. Here are three tips to improve your virtual meeting background. 1. Get your light right. The brighter, the better. So use a lamp, ring light, or natural light from your window. 2. Choose a neutral background. Avoid a cluttered and busy background. 3. If you feel uncomfortable sharing your home space, blur your background or use a virtual background. Comfort and confidence is key. For more career advice, you can find me on Instagram at @_theinformal or visit theinformal.ca.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Welcome back to Radio Kapwa CKUT 90.3 FM. We're getting to just about a little bit past halfway of the hour, and so excited to have our interviewee here today. We have Alan Matudio, who is an amazing artist, creator, local Kasama. You know, it's so nice to be in this room together with specifically Montreal Filipinos. On this show, we basically bring together different folks from the diaspora, but you know, we are all, most of the folks working on this show are Montreal Filipinos at heart. So we have that pride and super happy to have Alan here with us today. Alan, do you want to start by introducing yourself, giving us a little bit of background before we get into it?
Sure. My name is Alan. I am a artist, creator, born and raised in the Côte-des-Neiges area of Montreal. Professionally, I work on video games, but like the rest of my time, which is much more than the 9 to 5, it's volunteering with community stuff as well as my own personal work that often revolves around Filipino Quebecois identity as well as migrant workers issues and stuff like that. So it's been pretty busy, but yeah, that's the type of stuff that I do.
I love it. That's amazing. Before we get into like the bigger questions, we always kind of like to start with like a lighter, more fun question. So okay. Would love to hear from you. What is some awesome Tito advice that you have gotten in your life? For me personally, I always kind of grew up around these titas who are like, oh, you're so pretty, you're so pretty, like you're gonna find a rich husband, you're gonna find a rich husband. And I always thought that was like so weird. And I remember this one time there was this tito in my family who had heard that comment and stepped in and was like, why does he have to be rich? No, he has to be nice. He has to be nice and he has to be respectful. And that was just like such a good like tito advice moment for me that I still carry today. So what's yours?
Wow, that's great. I guess for me, just to keep doing what I'm doing, regardless of how different it is from my initial studies, this isn't necessarily, I guess, tito or tita advice. It's just like from the older generations, despite me doing a degree in the sciences, they were still very encouraging of my interest in drawing or stuff in the computer. So that allowed me to keep believing in myself and keep pursuing things, despite how sometimes it feels like it's not going anywhere. You know, sometimes you're doing something because it's fun. And, you know, when I do my art projects, there isn't really any monetary thought. It's just doing it because I enjoy doing it. And to have that validation from, I guess, your elders, especially if it's family, it's really comforting.
Yeah, I love that. We love the elders who don't push us into nursing, huh? Unless that's our passion. Shout out to all the Filipinos that nursing is their passion. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do. So speaking of that, can you tell us a little bit about how Kasama came about?
Yeah, Kasama is kind of a crazy story because most people just see the final product, but it's really been a long process. It started off with me wanting to reconnect with my Filipino identity. And I wasn't really sure how to go about that. You know, you get to talk to your parents and family members, but they aren't always totally open to talk about stuff like that. Or I don't know, sometimes it feels like I don't want to push too hard when it comes to talking about things that might be traumatic to them. So I did my own research, bought a bunch of books that were interesting to me, and mostly a lot of Filipino art books. So a lot of stuff on textiles, a lot of stuff on jewelry, actually, a lot of basketry, Filipino martial arts. That led to more specific interests, and it led to a body of knowledge that I ultimately wanted to share. And as a visual artist, the best way for me to share that is through creating comics, which is a medium that I personally enjoy in my free time. So it felt like a natural fit.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. What do you want people to feel when they experience or read or see your work?
Yeah, that's kind of a super loaded question because
sorry. Yeah, maybe we can break it up.
No, that's all good. At the very least, I want them to feel like, actually, to be honest, I'm kind of just piggybacking on some of the feedback that I've gotten, because I don't know how people end up feeling about it. But like once I put it out there, it's not mine anymore. And how I interpret the work might be totally different from how other people interpret the work, especially if they don't know me, right? So a close friend of mine who is Bisaya told me that, oh, in this comic, she was so happy because she felt seen. And it was very important for me to have two characters that weren't necessarily Tagalog-centric. So to have a character that was Filipino, but not, you know, not from Luzon, just in different parts, was important to me because as Filipinos, we come from different parts of the Philippines, right? Like to say, like the Filipino identity is so vast in culture. And that was just part of my research as well, learning how different people from different regions are. And me realizing that, yeah, I'm more than Filipino. My mom is from Batangas. And the way my mom speaks is super different from how my dad's side of the family speaks. So
that emphasis on like, we are not a monolith, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
How we keep trying to squeeze each other into boxes. But yeah. I just want to squeeze in for a second. And for those who are not familiar, Alan, can you share just like a little synopsis of Kasama?
Sure.
Thank you.
Do I have that here?
Or just like from the top of your head, yeah. You know? So basically, Kasama is a graphic novel. It was printed out by Anak Publishing, which is an amazing Filipino-Canadian publishing house. We are actually going to have them on some future shows and interview how they came about as well. They were recently in town for the Home is in the Body kind of book tour. But yeah, give us folks who are not familiar with Kasama, what is it about?
Yeah, so Kasama is the story of two travelers, Allison and Kia, who are navigating their differences while hunting down the Manananggal. And a lot of people are caught off guard when I tell them that they're both Filipinos and they're both navigating their cultural difference. And again, that's to highlight how we can come from different parts of the Philippines and not necessarily understand how each other work. And there's also an element of mythology there, because I feel like mythology is such an important element to who we are as Filipinos, because oftentimes our mythology influences a lot of our mannerisms. I've spoken about this previously in different conversations, and like other people bring up their own experiences. But like an example for me is some of my titos, and I don't know if this sounds gross or whatever, but when they pee in the park or whatever, or in the bushes, they say tabi tabi po. And that's not something they necessarily think about. It's just something they say. And it comes from us telling the spirits or letting the spirits know that maybe we're going to pee, please, you know, get out of the way. Or like, respectfully, I'm going to pee on this bush right now, because we don't want to pee on the spirits in that bush, right? So that's just something that we've kind of internalized, right? Or like, Bahalaka comes from Batala, which is the almighty God in certain Filipino cultures. So once you know the origins of some of these expressions, for example, you realize how a lot of these myths or folklore stories influences how we behave and how that defines us as Filipino.
First of all, thanks for creating this comic book for us and for the future generation to consume it. When I first, again, you heard me, when I first read it in one sitting, and I'm like, you know, that's it, I need more. I just want to highlight the fact that I was born in the Philippines and I grew up with all of this like mythologies, and so it's just amazing for me to actually see it physically and then being read to me, and all of the storylines and the different identities. Someone who grew up in the Philippines in Manila, I was mostly centered around Tagalog speakers, and so I had to actually go to the glossary and like read, oh, what does yawa mean, you know? And I'm like, oh man, like I need to understand more of my Filipino-ness. I'm like so limited to just me being a Tagalog speaker. So there's a lot that you have Kasama, you have your Micah little short book that I put in my hallway whenever I feel I need to feel validated a little bit. I just grab it literally in the hallway, just reading it. I'm like, yes, I feel validated. And being born in Codenej in Montreal, it just makes everyone, I just feel like everyone should read this. Like, you're not alone.
Thank you.
That your short story makes Filipino feel like you're not alone with this journey that we're all going through. So thank you for doing this, and thanks for having us. My question for you would be, we know that you have upcoming projects. Would you like to share this with us? I know you have something around your neck. Do you want to talk about that one?
Sure. I guess in terms of storytelling, I do plan to continue a lot of the stories that have been out there, because as an artist, you're always learning and there's just more to talk about, right? We talked about mythology and a bit about identity, but like in Kasama and also in Mike and my zine, I like to talk about also kind of, well, I like to sprinkle things that inform us about how we got to where we are as well, which is why learning about migrant worker issues is so important, because for the most part, we come here through a specific migration pathway, and being able to share that in a way that's not really in your face and more artistic and fun kind of helps the conversation going. So definitely continue talking about those types of stories, as well as, well, those types of stories is part of the Filipino Montreal story, right? our migration channel. So definitely more of that. So yeah, hopefully, I can't talk too much about the bigger work because, you know, there's publishers behind that. But like definitely for Michael, where I have a lot more control, I plan to continue to write more. In terms of new things that I'm working on, I've, among some of the research things that I got into is, I bought this book about pre-colonial Filipino jewelry. And among that was a book about Filipino gold. And a lot of the pieces there were so beautiful. It just made me wish it still existed and that it wasn't behind museums. Because it like it's one of those things, again, that should be shared. And I'm not a jeweler, but I'm started getting into metalwork. And it's been really fun to reconnect with my Filipino background in that way, to try to copy, not necessarily copy, but well, definitely copy because I'm still starting, but also be inspired by what other art forms we used to do. So we have a strong background in metalwork. We have a strong background in jade work as well. And I want to be able to take that into the modern world with this new kind of, with like a modern Filipino Canadian kind of element to it. So yeah, I've been working on some jewelry pieces, and as much as possible, it's not just about creating something flashy or luxurious. It's really to wear something that kind of promotes or encourages a certain feel that relates back to my Filipino background. So
definitely.
Yeah.
And I can totally like relate to that, right? Because what folks actually don't realize is that you're like channeling this ancestral energy of us wanting and needing protection. And one of the pre-colonial ways where we used to protect ourselves is by wearing anting-anting, right?
Yeah,
so I am seeing you as this modern antingero in training, right? Because we are now coming into kind of this new reality where we need a different type of protection as diaspora, right? Yeah. Like the indigenous tribes that we had in the Philippines did their anting-antings in their own ways. But now as diaspora people, that spirituality and that protection looks different. So I love that you kind of felt the call to the indigenous of wanting to protect yourself, wanting to protect others, but also kind of share this beautiful art. And I always like to say, you know, like, yes, our quote unquote mythology is very, very important. And it's a huge way for folks to start to connect to our pre-colonial history, our pre-colonial spirituality. But I think that we also need to adjust and we need to find different ways to talk about it because our mythology is not a myth. It's not mythology. These are our real gods, goddesses that protect us in the everyday and that like we want to bring back because they were silenced for so long, right? So like, it's not mythology. It's literally our pre-colonial spirituality. And I know Des has so many thoughts on this, so I'm passing it to her.
Yeah, thank you, France. And thank you, Valen, for sharing. I mean, I was just sitting here listening and absorbing. And I mean, I was getting visceral reactions as you were sharing and just, you know, sharing all of your knowledge and everything that you've been researching and learning on your own about our culture. I just wanted to thank you and celebrate you. And just, again, you doing the research and then expressing it through your art is there. And just speaking it out loud is giving me a visceral reaction or has given me a visceral reaction. And this remembering, like, we're not looking at anything right now, but you just talking about, you know, the jewelry making, there is a visceral reaction. There's this remembering again, because we've been so repressed and it's been like pushed down for so long. I'm literally feeling it. And like my ancestors are like, yes, I don't even know how to articulate what I'm feeling, but I just, I'm more intentional and I'm more aware of these, of spirit coming through me. And spirit has come through me just with you sharing. And I'm sure it's coming through for so many other people. As you were saying, you don't know the effects of your art per se when somebody purchases it, but I'm just saying you with your voice and sharing your experience is doing this for me. So thank you.
That's lovely. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
It's, to be honest, I haven't really properly thought out what this whole metalwork process means to me, but it's just something that really absorbed me because again, for one, this was something that used to be done a lot. It used to be a big part of our history. And it's funny because when I say jewelry making, it comes with luxury and money, but it wasn't necessarily about that. Like, again, just the whole concept of anting-anting, it was to give us a sort of encouragement or power. Or again, I was given a gift actually by France, and it was this lilingo. And oftentimes I would wear it whenever I felt like, you know what, I need to do this. I'm doing this because the stuff that we do is important, and it gives me power whenever I look at it, right? And to some people that might sound crazy, but to me it was a real thing. And I wanted to be able to, you know, pass on that feel of, you know what, I have this Ka symbol around my neck. And when I look at the Ka symbol, it reminds me of my community and how we're all working together towards this thing. And it might not mean anything to other people, but I know what it means and I know the value, and it gives me power, right? So I want to be able to share that with
you. I love that. I have a lilingo also gifted from France, and I will also take it and hold it, or I find myself holding it when I'm feeling lost and ungrounded, similar to how my mom holds her rosary. So again, yeah, exactly. Just these beautiful connecting the dots. And France, I feel like you might have something to say, but again, just connecting these dots and not realizing where it comes from and the why. I'm really in this period of, like, you know, decolonizing, but then always asking why. Like, why are we like this? Why do we like this? Why are we, you know? So it's been such a beautiful journey going further and further back into our history and feeling more and more grounded in self, at least from my experience.
Totally. Thank you for making that point, because I think this is exactly why it's so important to have these conversations as a community, where we can point out where the colonialism has settled in, right? Alan, you literally just said, I wear this because it helps me, it gives me power. And even if other people don't understand it or think it's crazy or whatever, and they think that because of their colonized mentality. But if it's a Lola holding her rosary when she's feeling nervous, we don't think that's weird at all, right? So that's where the colonialism has kind of seeped in. Can we choose where we get our power from, as opposed to being told, like, it's the rosary, it's this, it's that, and that's where it should come out from? And I think that this can kind of lead to some of our closing questions of, in what ways have you ever been told that you weren't Filipino enough?
It happens a lot with just having work out there. Like, I've had my book out and I would have a tito kind of come up, and this is a random tito, by the way, just like just framing that, and they'd be like talking to me about, hey, did you know that this was Baba Yin, or did, like, talking to me about stuff that I put in my book, right? So obviously there's been a process of thinking it through and seeing how it's appropriate and knowing about it for me to have enough of courage to put it in my book. And to me, it kind of felt like, do you think that I didn't put in the work to just have it out there? Because yeah, maybe in their experience as a tito, they might have seen you kind of throw different elements of the culture around and maybe not think things as deeply. But like, for me, it was kind of hurtful because I put so much hours into figuring all of this out. I shared it with a whole bunch of my kasamas to make sure that it was, you know, responsible or just inoffensive or just appropriate. Just, I wanted it to be fine at the very least, but like, I still get comments of things not being good enough. And maybe that's my art and not necessarily my Filipino-ness, but like, it still takes me aback, especially, and I feel like this is for a lot of people who put their stuff out there. Is it good enough, or is it good enough to represent this Filipino background? And you basically see this whenever you put stuff out there, you know, and it's just part of the creative process. And if anything, it's good to have that feedback as well, because you process that, right? So they would be like, oh, did you know that this? And you would think in your head, yeah, I do. I went through that process and I've been confident enough to put it out there. So it reassures you mentally when they ask you that question, because yeah, I guess I'm just flipping that into me taking that in and processing and telling myself, yeah, I did look into that and it is fine. you know?
All right. That was very insightful. Just for sake of time, in like a few sentences, Alan, tell us what Kapwa mean to you.
Damn, that's tough. because there's a lot of these really powerful words, Kasama being one of them. And to me, Kapwa is probably that next level of more than just Kasama. It's this absolute confidence with that other person you consider Kapwa. So it's kind of like, it's that deeper connection of more than just allyship, is you know for a fact that these people are with you. So yeah, I don't know if I, like, this is a term that I'm gonna develop more for sure. But yeah, that's how I see it. It's like more than just Kasama, it's really like, it's the spiritual connection that we have with each other.
That was really hard to describe for me to my non-Filipino partner. I'm like, I don't know, but you're a Kapwa, that's it. But we really thank you for taking the time and explaining your project, Kasama, and your version of Kapwa that we all resonate with. San Kapwa is very happy to have you with us. Radyo Kapwa is very happy to have you with us. And any parting words from my dear co-hosts?
I have one little parting word where I just want to big up Alan again for, you know, like taking up space, taking his place. One thing I want to announce that he's also taking up space in academia. So at the University of Manitoba, Kasama is now a required reading for English 2910. Yeah. Hello, Dr. Lucas Tromley.
That's crazy.
Class.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, shout outs to
that's
him. He's
amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
So all the Kapwas keep taking up space. Thank you for being with us today, Alan.
Thank you guys, Alan, for having me.
Thank you, Alan, for sharing a piece of your process with us and for being an inspiration, at least to me, in the art world. Big thank you to everyone listening. It's time for your weekly community announcements. The Defund the SPVM community organization will be hosting their annual Defund La Police Festival on September 10th from noon to 8 p.m. at NDG Park. Find our very own Veronica in France speaking on how policing affects Filipino communities and what some alternatives to policing can be. Also on September 10th, Queer Kwentuhan, a photography exhibit, will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. at Studio Space located at 372 St. Catherine Street West, suite number 124. I'm so excited to announce that the tickets for this have already been sold out. Way to go, Kapwa! And stay tuned for the possibility of a waitlist. Now, there are so many events to go to on September 10th, and that includes this last one, being Asian Night Market in Chinatown. Me and my band, The Earth Tones, will be performing an hour of music from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And if you can't make that, the breathtaking Christine Toka will also be performing with her band from 9 to 10 p.m. Come out and enjoy some music. Next up, Force Jeunesse will be holding their 16th edition of Rencontre Maître Chez Vous with Pauline Marois as keynote speaker on September 17th. They are a youth-led nonprofit organization with a perspective of intergenerational equity and work towards defending the rights and interests of Quebec's youth in the development of public policies. Our very own France will be on a panel on how to make mental health support more accessible. And last but not least, on that very same day, My Chinatown Montreal will be hosting a Mahjong night during their Chinatown Night Market, also held on September 17th. Thank you once again to everyone for tuning in to Radio Kapwa at CKUT 90.3 FM. This is, as usual, Laura from Hiraya Productions. Mabuhay.
Liberation for one is liberation for all. Tuloy ang laban.
What made you drop out?
Well, a lot of people think it was the 400 acid trips they took, you know.
Uh-huh, but what was it really, Bob?
One day I played CKUT in 90.3.
Then what happened?
I saw God.
You saw God. Well, that sounds like true enlightenment to me,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, we grim.
And on the seventh day, the Lord said,
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is back from September 28th to October 2nd, 2022. 5 days of music and over 200 artists, including teen punk viral sensations, the Linda Lindas, Canada's first drag race winner Priyanka, 70s British funk group Simone, Grammy-nominated and Juno Award winner Alison Russell, iconic dancehall queen Sister Nancy, post-rock legends Tortoise, and many more. The festival also features film screenings, visual art, symposium discussions, and as always, many surprises. Get your tickets and passes now at popmontreal.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
If your last vaccination against COVID-19 was more than 5 months ago, it's time to get another dose. Boosting your antibodies reduces the risk of getting or transmitting the virus, and booster doses help reduce the number of hospitalizations and deaths related to COVID-19. For better protection against the virus, book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine and follow the recommended vaccination schedule. Vaccination against COVID-19, a good way of extending our protection. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Hey, all you hip-hop heads. NDG's favorite urban music festival is back. Prévention Côte Neige NDG and Elementality are proud to present the 18th edition of Hip Hop You Don't Stop, ending the summer on a high note with a weekend full of performances, art showcases, dance battles, and community gathering. Featured artists include Mackie Lavender, Miriam Sassy, Remy Picasso, Shades Lawrence, DJ Pro V, and more. It's all going down Friday, September 16th to Sunday, September 18th. And it's all free. Visit linktree.com/HHYDS Montreal for more information and stay connected because hip hop doesn't stop here. Hip Hop You Don't Stop is brought to you with the support of Canadian Heritage and La Ville de Montréal, a CKUT co-presentation.
And there he was.
You're listening to Montreal's emerging indie folk gem, Bells Larson. Bells will be playing at the Diving Bells Social Club on September 9th to celebrate the release of his debut album, Good Grief, which explores themes of young love, lost love, and queer love. Join in for a beautiful evening of song and storytelling from Bells and support act Eve Parker Finley. Buy your tickets for September 9th at bluesguysturnblack.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
MTL versus racism.
Montreal versus racism.
MTL versus racism.
A concert united against racism and discrimination.
Un concert uni contre racisme et la discrimination.
Saturday, the 10th of September, 6 to 10 p.m. in Girouard Park.
Samedi, le 10 septembre, 18h à 22h à Parc Girouard NDG.
Avec des performances de
Jonathan Emile,
Shawit,
Maritza,
Remy Picasso,
Paul Carniello,
DJ Lady Oracle,
collecte de fonds pour Résilience Montréal,
raising money for Resilience Montreal.
Tout le monde et tous les âges sont bienvenus.
Everybody is welcome.
This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Is uncut. It contains strong language and some adult situations. Discretion is advised.
All the way live radio, CKUT 90.3 FM.